You ever see this guy with the pillows on Fox? My pillow guy, Mike Lindell. He is the greatest. The My Pillow guy. Mike Lindell. And he's been with us right from the beginning.
What are you going to show us today? What are we going to be able to, because it's going to be audience participation. You've got the top experts that are up to the Supreme Court. Who do we got, and what are you? Why are you here?
Well, first, I'm going to give you a little backlog of this case. By the way, this is at the Supreme Court right now, and it's up for consideration tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day, everybody.
Mean by consideration, yeah. The clerks all get together and they see what's in, what's out, what they're going to take up? Because the Supreme Court doesn't have to take it up.
Right. It's whether they accept it or not. It's been docketed a month ago. It's whether they accept it. But I got to give you a little background on the case. Back in the spring of 2022, Kurt Olson, the great Kurt Olson, attorney, a big hand here. He's fighting for this country. We talked about, let's go at a different angle with these machines, and that, what if you had a car that the brakes didn't work? You get recalled, right? It's called a defective device. So my dream was, let's go into all 50 states, and we'll go after them with a lawsuit that they're defective devices, okay? We started in Arizona in the spring of 2022. But I'm finding out, you got to have plaintiffs, and then you got to have lawyers within that state. We went from there, and we got to Alabama. But in the meantime, in Arizona, you need plaintiffs. Well, Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham said, we'll be those plaintiffs. And what great plaintiffs they have standing, because they're running for office, right? And I hired other attorneys, and I hired Alan Dershowitz, who's a Democrat. We thought, this isn't a Democrat or Republican thing. It's, let's secure our elections and not use these computers, right? So we did that. And if I get the dates wrong, too, who's going to fact check me? Alan Duke, it doesn't matter. I think it was the summer of 22, the judges ruled, is that right, that they didn't have standing. Is that correct? Yeah, August of 22, they ruled that we didn't have standing. What? How did Carrie Lake and Mark Fincher, the runner for office, they don't have standing? So anyway, and Alan Dershowitz said, well, of course they have standing. I've been around, he's been around forever, you know. And anyway, they really don't have standing. Well, then we all know in the election of 22, 142 machines go down, or 242, over two-thirds of the machines go down. Well, there's kind of a defect there, right? So now, to keep all that aside, whatever they did with the lawsuits there, they just follow this lawsuit. So you go, so then you have this 242 or whatever, it went, two-thirds of the machines go down at the same time, and they're defective, right? Don't even say what else. If nobody tampered, that's defection, right, I would think. Well, anyway, then we brought it before the Ninth Circuit on appeal in Arizona. They affirmed it, that you didn't have standing. And they added one thing to it. They sanctioned the lawyers, including Alan Dershowitz, who he was a coward, and he said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And can I say that? Is that okay? Coward.
You already did.
Coward. I already did.
It's like so, Rudy. It's like Rudy, right? Rudy cracks an off-color joke. Can I say that on TV? Sure, Rudy.
So he's a coward. He bows out. But, Kurt, these brave people, they kept going, because one of the things, when you take it to the Supreme Court, because they ruled on that they didn't have standing, you can add evidence to it. And there was evidence discovered this last fall that what you see here today, what they're going to
tell you. Well, you could do that because they said the injury was speculative. By the way, do you all guys have mics? Right there.
So under the 28 U.S.C. 1653, for those that are interested in looking up, when there is a... Yeah. Issue with
get your number two pencil out.
Yeah.
Got to speak up.
Okay, so if there's an issue with standing or jurisdiction, of which standing falls under, you can add new allegations that support standing as long as the allegations relate to events that existed at the time the complaint was filed. We were able to get data from the 2020 election from Maricopa, and that data showed three things. One, that Maricopa's software had been altered. It's a Frankenstein-like creation that has never been certified by the Secretary of State or the EAC, and Maricopa has repeatedly and falsely represented that they're using EAC-certified software to the courts, public, and to the Arizona Senate in that audit. The other thing that they falsely represented was that when they perform logic and accuracy testing prior to the election, and if you don't know what logic and accuracy testing is, it's a statutory requirement and it's designed to give the public confidence that these machines will actually properly read and tabulate the ballots. And so to that end, you have to have advanced public notice. It can't be performed more than 30 days before the election. You have to have required observers. Maricopa goes through this kabuki theater of logic and accuracy testing. They're required to test all deployable voting equipment, every single one of their 400 plus tabulators that they use. Tabulators are what the ballots are inserted to read and tabulate the votes. It's the critical piece of election equipment. They test five spares. That's expressly contrary to the statute, and they certify that they comply with that statute. That's false representation number two. The third item that we have found is that with respect to every Dominion machine we have seen, that's from Maricopa to Georgia to Colorado to Michigan to Pennsylvania, Dominion leaves in the what's called the election database. There's a table there. These machines are full of tables. In those tables, they leave decryption keys, which are designed to unencrypt data, as well as private keys for secure communications. Clay will be able to talk much more about this. But every single encryption key, there's three keys. Rindell key, remember that word, Rindell key. An X509 security certificate, that's for communication, and what's called an HMAC, the hash management key. And so,
can I interrupt you? I want to say something. Isn't it like having a bank vault and you have the combination written on the vault?
Well, it's yes. It's like saying
ATM
you have
my ATM card where I used to write my password on the back.
It's like saying you have the most secure vault in the history of the world, and putting the combination on a post-it next to it.
Hang on, I just want the Dominion lawyers to know. These guys were just wandering by on a bus, and we had to have some fill time, so they're up here. Just please, the guys, no, seriously. Ricker, Bill Gates, not the Bill Gates of the COVID, but Bill Gates of Maricopa County, hasn't over and over and over again, those guys been challenged, and have we been, I mean, I realize you got new evidence, but haven't we been over this like 20 times? And how come it hasn't been exposed? And why is no one rallying to our cause besides the war room and the war room posse?
So this is the first time that
that's
we have exposed
question, right?
Any of this. It's a fair question. Okay. It's never been exposed before with respect to this case and the 2020 election, because we just got, and this is Maricopa's own data. These are the tabulator system log files that show that the software they are using has been altered. That's a felony, to knowingly alter election software without the approval of the Secretary of State.
I think what Steve's saying, why wasn't it, you just discovered this, right?
Correct.
Right. How could it just get discovered? And even when you file to the Supreme Court, since it's a felony, and I think it's got criminal charges to it, have they come forward and said you're mistaken, or have they come forward and said, oops, you're right? I mean, these are not small allegations you're making in this new addendum to the Supreme Court, correct?
They waived their right to respond to our allegations in the Supreme Court, so they have not directly addressed it in any court.
But they have, they've waived it.
They waived their right to file a response in the Supreme Court. This evidence, and Clay is one of the testifying experts who reviewed the system log files, and Clay has a very unique background. Clay, before he became involved in all of this, was hired by the Voting System Testing Lab, ProVNV. Jack Cobb is the one who started it, from 2008 to 2017 to perform EAC certification testing. So when Clay speaks to an issue with these electronic voting machines, he knows exactly what he's talking about. It's a very funny story. When we had the hearing on the preliminary injunction motion that is the case that's currently before the Supreme Court. We had John come up and testify. We had several other experts, Ben Cotton, Doug Logan, Sean Smith gave a declaration, and others. They were, the defendants, Maricopa County, were critiquing Ben Cotton, saying, well, you're not an election machine expert. You don't have any experience with election machines, as if election machines are something special. They're a computer. They use Dell components, Microsoft components. There's nothing special. But that was their line. That was their line of attack. I had met Clay just before that hearing, and when he told me his experience with EAC certification testing.
Because he was like a contractor.
I said, this is gold.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return in the war room. Just a moment.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Oh, wow. Can we finish what we're talking about? Because we have some questions from the audience. Russ Vogt's going to join us, and I want to... Oh. Real quickly, at the far end, Pat McSweeney. Pat, you're one of the lawyers. Stand up. Pat McSweeney, one of the finest lawyers in the United States. How he ever ended up working with Mike Lindell? That's the question. Pat was in the Nixon White House. He's also my mother and his mother were the best of friends. He lived down the block from me when I was a small kid, so he's always been a idol of mine because Pat was always the one going to the best schools in the country, everything. Pat McSweeney, thanks for joining us, brother.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay, let's finish this because I want to go to the audience.
Well, okay, so I want to, because this is a great story. We are at this hearing with the judge. We have experts. It's for a preliminary injunction to ban the use of electronic voting machines in Arizona. We had telegraphed, because we were required to, the experts we were going to bring, except for Clay, because I met him after we made the filing. And Clay is our secret weapon. So the defendants get up there and they question the cyber experts saying, well, you have no experience before Maricopa with electronic voting machines, and implying that they don't know how these things work and so forth. We bring our secret weapon, Clay Parikh. One of the first questions out of their mouth at that hearing is, well, you don't have any experience with electronic voting machines. And then Clay proceeds to tell them, well, actually I do. And I was performing EAC certification testing for 9 years with these machines. And the defense attorney's jaw just dropped, and he walked away like this. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Does Clay, do you have a microphone? Do we have microphones over there? Can you test it work?
Test.
Can you stand for a second? I just have one question before we get the audience. Why, and I'm not a machine guy, right? I'm the mail-in ballot guy, but I'm open.
You're changing, brother.
I'm changing. I'm open. Why are the machines so complicated? Why are they so complicated given that they should have a fairly rudimentary, it shouldn't be much more sophisticated than this city counts dollars, right? It should be the moral equivalent of the cash counting machines that every casino in Vegas has used since the 1950s. Am I wrong in that? Why are these machines so complicated? Because when they start explaining the technology to me, and I can handle technology okay as an investment banker to understand how to finance things, I get totally cross-eyed and lost in this.
Right. So what I want to tell you is, why they're that bad, it's intentional. Because I dealt with over seven vendors, seven of them. If they were that incompetent about software and system design, they wouldn't be able to get their shoes on in the morning and get out their front door. And that's based on my experience, and that's exactly what it is. And I see Mark Cook out there. I've got people in Alabama that work for me, database people that work on financial databases. Every IT professional that looks at these systems is just astounded at how awful and sloppy they are. And it can't be accidental. It's purposely done to confuse everything, and there's a thousand ways in, right, Mark? A thousand ways in.
Why then do you have Bill Gates and Ricker are examples of what's throughout the country? I mean, you went throughout the country, Alabama. Why do all these election officials at the local level all the way up to the state level, and we've had President Trump's head of cybersecurity at DHS continue to buy these machines, buy add-ons to these? I mean, remember, Kemp, the governor of Georgia, for 8 years, his job was Secretary of State. That's how he cut his teeth, right, in buying these machines. If they're so awful and so out of the ordinary, why do thousands of election officials, state legislatures, local jurisdictions continue to buy them, continue to have add-on contracts for them, all the way up to President Trump's head of cybersecurity say they're the most secure system you could possibly have?
There's two reasons. One, they're spending your money, not theirs. And two, it got them into power, so why are they going to get rid of something that could cost them their job?
And I would just add, look at what Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger, if you know going into 2022, he was over 15 points down in the polls. Somehow, he eked it out on Election Day.
51-49.
And never dropped.
Now, okay. 51 points. I want to add about Brad Raffensperger one thing. You guys realize that Brad Raffensperger in the Curlin case, he was the defendant before the 2020 election to get rid of the machines in Georgia. It's called the Curlin case. That case finally made it this spring where an Obama-appointed judge said, hey, these experts, Alex Halderman and stuff, they looked into machines and they said there's a problem. So we're going to move this case forward. And if you question the machines, you're not a conspiracy theorist. I got to take off my tinfoil hat on national TV. So, and one more thing, that case went to court on January 9th. And Alex Halderman with a ballpoint pen flipped the election right in front of that judge. Now that judge is sitting there right now. That case is over, so she's got to decide, do we continue to use these or not? That Curlin case is very similar to what we were going to do in every state, correct, Kurt?
It's not only similar, it is almost exactly alike in certain aspects of it. Because the first time I met you, Steve, is when we got found a declaration by Professor Halderman dated September 21st, 2021, in which he found vulnerabilities that were so severe, he was asking the court to unseal the record so he could tell CISA about it, because it was a matter of national security. It wasn't just Georgia's machines. It was machines used in 16 states, including Arizona. And that was a watershed moment, and the judge would not rule for 6 months, and CISA backed off, wouldn't do anything, and Halderman was screaming from the rooftops, this is a danger.
I just want to make sure we can put a pin in something and get it out there that people understand it. This is not just the Trump movement. It's just not MAGA. It's not sour grapes from 2020. The Curlin case had liberals and had Halderman. The way you cut your teeth, Amy Klobuchar in Minnesota, it was Elizabeth Warren. It's the point you make. It was both sides. It was basically the professional politicians class, but the Democrats had huge problems with this before Donald Trump ever thought of being a politician, correct?
Steve, if I may, I've assisted in over 20 states right now, several counties within the states, and I'm telling you, the Republicans cheat in Alabama because they cheat on the primaries. It is both sides. When I talk to people, it's we the people against the Uniparty. The R&D is irrelevant. It is irrelevant.
Does it, hold it, does the name Roy Moore strike a bell, right? You think Roy Moore lost fair and square? No way. Mm-hmm. They absolutely put their thumb on the scale. So you're convinced in Alabama and other places that are Republican strongholds that this goes on?
It definitely goes on. I can tell you, Meemaw Ivey is not the legitimate governor of Alabama.
And I like the thing that in Georgia, you guys in a primary, this nice Democrat lady, three Democrats running, and she got zero votes in her own precinct with her and her husband. Now, if they'd have done it smart, they'd have gave her two votes and said, I'm sorry, ma'am, nobody loves you but your husband. But they gave her zero. If they'd have gave her one vote, they'd be in divorce court.
Hang on 1 second. Before we go to commercial break, let's get some questions in. Jane, you got to speak up so everybody hears you.
Your tell name
you
who and where you're from.
Your name and where you're from and what's your question?
My name is Roy Piscadlo. I'm from Salt Lake City. And my question is, the Supreme Court does not have to take this case. If they do not take the case, is there a plan B, C, and D?
Yeah, there is a plan B for sure, which is this new evidence that we have put forward will be used in an injunction to be filed in Arizona. We're not going away because this is
We're
for 2024. They are using altered software and they are falsely saying it's EAC certified. That's false. They are saying they do LNA testing. That's false. And they have these encryption keys that are wide open that allow total access to the machines to change the results in any way without detection. And it violates, so Dominion represents in their contract with all these counties that we've seen that they, quote, protect election data, close quote, with encryption levels called FIPS, Federal Information Processing Standards. Yet they leave these keys unprotected on the election database except for the Windows login, which is easily bypassed, in plain text. We actually have a video, a very short video, that will show you where you can see this encrypted gibberish all of a sudden magically become readable by applying these keys.
Hold, hang on. If all that's true, why did old man Murdoch write him an $800 million check when the Murdochs throw nickels around like they're manhole covers? Kurt Olson.
Come on, don't pick on Fox. No.
I can't say why he did that. What I can say is it makes no sense. It makes no sense because Dominion's enterprise value, and Steve, you're a finance guy, an $800 million settlement is many, 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 many multiples of what that company was valued at. So why would you do that without really engaging in any discovery? We know, for example, because of Sheriff Darleaf, has released emails with Dominion where, lo and behold, they talk about Serbians that are tunneling into the election management system through a VPN, that they're transmitting results through the internet. And here's the kicker. There's an email that was released from Serbian engineers that says, from an engineering standpoint, we don't want unencrypted election data because you can't guarantee the accuracy of the results. Yet they leave the keys right open for anybody.
Okay, hang on. Fabulous question. Audience had a great one. Okay, we're going to have a short commercial break. We're going to be back. Hopefully get Russ vote up in the war room. Just a moment.
Mike Lindell here. And like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 1-800-200-GOLD. That's 1-800-200-4653. Or go to LindellGoldRush.com now.
Live from Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. You're in the war room. Thursday, 18 April, year of our Lord, 2024. This is not even happy hour yet.
Still got an hour to go. Guys, thank you. It's been fantastic. Force Multiplier Academy be a huge home run. Want to introduce now Mr. Don Ahern, the founder, owner of the Ahern Hotel.
Thank you, folks.
Look, you've been so gracious. The hotel is fantastic. It's the price is just incredible. The quality, the staff, all of it. And you open your arms to MAGA. You open your arms to President Trump. And just from the entire Warren Posse, we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Steve. We're so incredibly honored to have you here at our hotel. And you represent what we represent, just so you know.
I had a little bit of flashback today. They took me to the green room, and we got in there, and I'm just kind of sitting there, and my producer camera comes in and says, man, doesn't this send chills down your spine? And I go, what are you talking about? It's a very nice green room. It's all set up. It's very fancy. He says, no. This is the place where Carrie Lake blew up Tim Miller and John Heilman on Showtime. So we've had some great, great experiences here. You've got a huge announcement, and I want to make sure we do it live on TV and here with this audience.
Yes. Thank you, Steve. We have a great announcement tonight. But as I kind of worm my way into that, I want to thank everybody for coming here. It's you, great patriots, that are going to make America great again. It's you giving up your time to come out here and pay attention and learn from a great man. Steve, what a program. Good job.
Well, thank you so much.
Now, you see that bar back there? That big bar back there, and it's got a big round thing in the middle. That big round thing in the middle is going to go away here in a couple of weeks. And there's going to be a stage right there. And Mr. Donald J. Trump is going to be standing on it.
All right!
So we're very, very proud to host President Trump here at the Ahern Hotel. And I'll tell you, I've got a great staff, as Steve said. We're a family here. We have culture. And it's a Republican culture. You know
all
what I'm
right.
saying?
MAGA!
And we're going to put up, we've got 1,100 people coming here, and they're going to be spread out here. The seats are going to be turned around facing that way. And you're all invited, too, by the way. Now, it may not be as free as, because this is not a rally, per se. This is a fundraiser.
President Trump needs the cash. I'm telling you, Biden's got $2 billion.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like fighting a war that he's in, and you can't do it without money. So, as I often say when I get on a stage, and I think maybe a lot of people here, Steve, are from Nevada, are they? A lot of Nevadans here.
Yeah, and I noticed it was kind of a rough crowd today.
And we're very proud of those that have come from out of state to be here with Steve today. Very proud of you. But I was born about a mile and a half. And believe it or not, the Stratosphere Tower was a truck stop. And God forgive me, or my mom and dad forgive me, but I may have been conceived at that truck stop in 1952. Or maybe... Actually, I take that back. Might have been January, because I was born in October. So anyhow, we go back 70 years. I'll be 71 this year. And I want to tell you, I'm a Nevadan through and through.
And right.
I want to see this state go red again.
Amen.
So, Steve, thanks for allowing me to be a part of your life today. As the owner of the hotel, I don't often get to be a part of the process going on around here, but I just want to give you a hug and tell you I love you.
Look, everything, when people, and particularly people with money and positions of influence, ran away from the president, Ahern ran towards the president, right? That's character. How do they get information about the fundraiser? Do you have a website up now? Because okay. I know so a lot of this crowd wants to come.
So information's going to come, but right now you can go under the text to 26786, Ahern at 26786, and you'll be able to pick up some information next week on it. I've got a brochure I was going to show you tonight, but it hasn't been actually legalized or whatever. They've got a lot of, anyhow, it's not real easy just to throw something up, but I did get permission that I could say it. We got the invitation. It's official. It's committed. And there's going to be a big dinner up on top. So if you want to pay even more money, you can go up there. And but we're hoping to raise $10, $15, or $20 million.
Wow.
Right here for the president.
Wow.
And what?
A word to text. Okay. What is the word to text so we can get the text message?
Oh, June 8th. I'm sorry. I didn't say that, did I? June 8th.
Is it a word and then they text? Or?
Oh, text Ahern to 26786. Ahern 26786.
June 8th.
June 8th. Yes, he'll be speaking right here. He'll be taking pictures from 4 to 5. He'll be speaking from 5 to 6, and then there's a dinner upstairs. We expect them to have them here for about a four-hour window.
Wow.
But there's going to be a pre-show. There's going to be some amazing entertainment before and after. And as far as I'm concerned, you can come at 2 in the afternoon, and you don't have to go home till after midnight.
Can we give it up for Mr. Ahern?
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Fantastic. Let's give him MAGA.
Yo!
Okay, June 8th. Mike Lindell, we're going. I tell you what, real quickly, let's say it's about machines. Let's take a quick question from Mike in the panel. What we got?
Your name and where you're from, and what's your question?
My name is Scott Bernard. I'm from Louisiana. And my question is, given the sheer magnitude of this case, right, it affects an entire nation, the outcome. And given the kangaroo nature of our Article I courts, would it not be, or would it be permissible to bring it back under an Article III court, common law and constitutional?
Pat McSweeney?
Great, I didn't hear the question.
If the Supreme Court rejects this case, right, I'm assuming it was brought under an Article I court, would it not be permissible to bring it back and reintroduce it as an Article III court, common law, constitutional court?
It is an Article III court we're in now. The question is whether the common law still exists in this country. Yep. Yeah, that's something that we've got to decide this November. Very simple.
There's no other way you can file this. In other words, people are saying that the justice system's rigged right now, rigged in Arizona, rigged in New York City, rigged at the Supreme Court. If it gets rejected there, is there any other alternative, common law, whatever, that you can actually take?
Legally, I don't think so. I think our solution is political.
Okay, fine. Mike, why don't we get a short video? We want to play this. You're gonna help narrate it?
Yes, and this is Clay Breed. We're going to show this video. This is stuff that the Supreme Court's going to see that was discovered, that was added to the case. So Clay's going to, as we watch this, he'll stop and he will explain.
All right. So while this starts up, this is just a very academic demonstration of it. What I will tell you is it's using a basic tool. It's called Kali Linux. Everybody in the security field knows about it. There are about 100 and something ways that you could do this attack. It's not this way. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to get the live disk that you need, which is Kali Linux. It's going to boot up. And we put the wording in here so that way when it's posted, it'll be easy to understand. And two, with the disclaimers, it keeps everybody out of jail. So this is Kali Linux. It's what's called a Linux-based system, and it's just booting up. And what it's going to do is it's going to read the computer's hard drive once it's mounted.
Clay, this is an election database that's being posted, correct?
Yes, yes. It is an election database, and you're actually going to see a Dominion EMS system come up on the screen. Now, if we could pause right here. All right, so I know it quickly went through that data structure, but what it is it's basically going to the folder that contains the database, and there they're just taking the database off. As people in the audience know, that you don't have to take the database off. You could actually run this via script on the actual system and do it all there anyway. All right, if we could start it back up. So what they're doing now is there's three basic files that are associated with any relational database. And this relational database is going to catch, what you're going to see is they're going to join it to a SQL Server that already exists. What you can do is you can restore it. I personally, out of all the states that I've looked at, have just went off what's called a BAK file, which is the backup. I've successfully restored every single one of them on a different system and booted it up. Now, here's the Dominion EMS system. Just log it in, because that's where we have an SQL instance already. And what they're going to do now is what he's going to do is the data is going to be put on the system, and then he's just going to incorporate it in with the SQL server that exists. And there's going to be what's called a query. This is a basic query that already comes standard, where he's going to find the keys. What I will tell you is, I searched the entire database on several of the databases for a general query just to look for the keys, and I found them in 11 to 12 tables in most of the databases. So that was just to find where the keys were located. Then to actually get the keys, you'll use this exact same query. Now what he's doing there is copying them. You can actually export them in a query command, right? So he's copying them over, and the reason he's doing this is because it's going to be in a file that the script will read in order to decrypt. All right. And so he should be coming up on when they disconnect and shut down the system. Right? All right. So now, can we freeze there? All right. So he's mounted them. And now right here, what you're seeing, all that gobbledygook is the encrypted file. When it gets encrypted, you're not going to be able to read it. You have to decrypt in order to read. This is an adjudication file. I've done this on the machine behavioral settings file. It can do it to any file. It can do it to what's called a DVD file, which is election results, the images, the ballot images, anything on that system to include the communications, whether it's between other election systems or external communications, can be forged and seem legitimate. You can create ballots that do not exist and put them into the system, and the system will not know.
And that's all because the encryption keys have been left open and unprotected, yes, in plain text, yes, on the database.
All right, if we can roll it, because you're going to see here in just a second, once he runs the script, and all he does is point it to the specific files, the only parameter required. And now look, you see exactly everything that's in that adjudication file. Well, so you saw how easy readable it was. I did it on the machine behavioral settings. What does that do? That means I could basically reprogram any tabulator to do whatever I wanted it to do, re-encrypt it, it gets installed, and the machine is mine. It is totally owned.
So to me, it's like what Steve said. He asked the first question when he said, why are these so complicated? And what was your answer, Clay?
Because it's intentional for the steal. It's right, for the right, steal.
Right. And why are these in the machines? And this is what the Supreme Court's going to see along with the other stuff that was found. So this is very important. Remember, the Supreme Court, our government deemed our elections critical infrastructure. They need to accept this and just say, hey, we've got to protect our country. Let's look at this. At least look at what's been found.
Let's go to another question from the audience.
Your name, where you're from, and what's your question?
Hi, Gary Davidson, from Henderson by way of Brooklyn, New York. And I'm concerned about why is it taking so long? Is it the sovereignty of this that you guys weren't allowed to because of international treaties?
We're 4 years into this. A good question. Why now are we just into that is still arguing 2020 on the machines 4 years into it.
All right. So one of the things before we got the 2020 data was because of the work in 2022, what we exposed. What hurt us in the 2022 pile case was that the county slow rode the PRR data. Once we got the data, it was 70-something million lines of logs that had to be analyzed and go through. We have people and groups and different teams that were looking at it. It just takes time. Not to mention there was chain of custody stuff you have to verify. Because what you have to understand is I am a technical person. I've tested these things. But what I can't do with my certifications and educations is get up here and give an opinion or something. You have to be 99.9% sure of what you're presenting. So that analysis took an extremely long time. And two, in multiple states, there's a lot of legal processes we had to go through in order for us to get the data. But as soon as we got the data, it was like that.
I liken this to Lord of the Rings. We are not a government agency. We are just patriots who have come together. We just met each other over the past couple of years. We're working with limited resources, highly skilled people like Clay, like John, like Pat, but we are like you. So we are fighting against government agencies that are doing everything they can to throw a blanket over this. And they fight us every step of the way. How hard should it be for transparency to simply disclose data? Why do we have to fight them to get it? And it's because they're trying to cover up a system. But here is the hope. I was involved. I was one of the primary drafters of the complaint that Texas filed in the U.S. Supreme Court in December 2020. We have come so far in the past 3.5 years with our knowledge because people said enough. And they got together and we have worked together and submitted document requests, have done public records requests, have brought litigation, and uncovered tremendous, tremendous data and information that shows how these machines and how, quite frankly, the mail-in ballots and chain of custody, how the system has been rigged and how the system does not protect the people. But the best thing we can do right now is show the system, the people behind in the government, that we know what they're doing. And once that spotlight is shined on them, that makes it a lot more difficult to cheat.
Hey, I want to say something there. I grabbed one thing out of this. We've done all this in 3 years with limited resources. I ran out. You want to help LindellPlan.com. That's where you need to go. You want to help this case, LindellPlan.com, and learn everything we're doing from the ground up, too. It's very educational.
Let me go to Pat real quickly. Pat, you've been involved in 50 Supreme Court filings, arguments, et cetera. Hasn't the court said very clearly they don't want to get involved in anything dealing 2020, 2022? This is an area they're just not comfortable. They're barely comfortable doing immunity for President Trump. They're barely comfortable during the Fisher case for January 6th. They're barely comfortable doing the outrageous 9-0 ruling about Colorado. Right. But they have not been out looking for these types of cases. It's the exact opposite. Well, why do you think this is different, and why is the Supreme Court avoiding this?
There are lots of reasons why there are 9 reasons, 9 justices, but I want to emphasize or expand on a point
you got to speak. You got to put it right.
I made a bit earlier. We're not in control. The voters of this country are not in control. Unless we change the way elections are conducted, we are not in control. We're about to die because of our overspending and debt. We have many other problems that will destroy the republic that the founders created. We're not going to make it many more years. If that sounds dire, that's why I'm here. Because I look at my grandchildren and I wonder, can they ever experience what we did? This case is very important because it does put a focus on the problems with the elections. But if we don't find a way to control the elections, we'll never, ever correct these problems. We've got presidents who are buying votes while we rail about $34 trillion, soon to be $35. He's adding hundreds of billions of dollars of spending. We're inviting millions of people across the border at taxpayer expense, as if it doesn't matter. If the public does not control the elections in the future, and the only way to do that is to fundamentally change the way elections are conducted. Yeah. Let's not have a repeat of 2020.
Pat McSweet. Okay, John Mills, you just got back from Taiwan. We know France does it in a day with paper ballots and counting. You saw it in Taiwan. Is it what Mike Lindell is the objective of three quarters of this audience? Is it achievable?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Thank you, and Mike and Kurt and everyone. It's absolutely, Cameron, if we could put up the one slide here, and you could have the best cyber in the world. These are called professional. These are called remote access operations. But you always need what? The insider, the collaborator. This is from a press conference, I think it was last week on Monday. This was the National Press Club. And this was there was a great team from Taiwan, and they had invited me to come down and see this briefing. You can have the best technical access team. These are called technical entries, okay? Remote access operations. You always need the insider. Because are you going to, if you want to get inside a data center, are you going to rent a helicopter, land on the roof, harness up, lower yourself through the laser beams, break into the computer, and then extract yourself with nobody noticing it? Or are you just going to pay somebody and bribe somebody on the inside? Now I'm not saying, this is not an accusation against anybody, a recorder, okay, a registrar, okay? Believe me, I've been through this many times. You need an insider. And this is the NSB, he was the Ministry of Justice briefer. NSB is their kind of combination of CIA, FBI, NSA. These are good guys and girls. And he says, and he went in great detail, to do this, to do what China tried to do, to throw the election in January of 20 and then January of 24, it's the collaborators. I was really surprised that they would go into this much detail in public. So you can have the best technical entry, remote access capabilities. You can have you can be Mossad. You can have the best team in the world. Believe me, you need the insider. And they emphasize that. So TikTok was hugely powerful, remote cyber access operations. But they have a very, very simplified procedure. It's essentially paper only with very simple machines. You don't even get involved in the computer network until you're like at the county level, which is kind of like ours, but it's two levels above. So they don't even get into a network, but it's the role of the collaborator and insider. I'm not making an accusation against anybody. I'm just presenting these are real-world findings that are best practices. And, you know, ever since Jesus James Angleton left the CIA, you know, our counterintelligence, you can't trust them. You know, you got Charles McGonigal, chief of counterintelligence, and he was getting paid by the Russians well on the U.S. government payroll. So collaborator, the insider.
John, where do they go to get more information about you, all your work, your show, books, all of it?
Thank you, Steve. Colonel Rhett John, Colonel R.H.E. John, Substack, Getter and Truth, and two books. Thank you for the forward here. Nation Will Follow, and War Against the Deep State. Go to my store and use code War Room. Thank you, Steve.
My store, promo code War Room.
War Room.
My store.
800-873-1062. Do you have social media?
Yes, I'm on X. True Social, Frank Social. I'm Clay P0811 on Frank Social, and on X, Twitter, whatever it's called, I'm Parik Clay at.
Perfect. Pat, do you send smoke signals or Pony Express, or are you on social media?
I'm still writing with a quill pen, Steve.
A man of wisdom. We've got 2 minutes. You've got a call to action. What is it?
I do. I actually have two calls to action. One is, as I said at the beginning, every Dominion system we inspected left the encryption keys unprotected on the election database in plain text. That was in Colorado, that was in Arizona, Georgia. And Georgia, by the way, produced election data pursuant to open records requests. These keys are out publicly on a website right now because this was just open records. That's how easy this is to access. We also found it in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. So while we are going to move forward where we can, I'm asking everybody in the audience, whether live or TV or here, you should be going to your county commissioners and saying, you need to check these machines to see if the encryption keys are left open on the election database. Find that out. Demand to know. Put in open records requests. And we know that we've seen this on Dominion. We have not seen, and we just don't know whether it's on ESNS or any other system. So, but this is an issue that you can go to your county commissioners, supervisors, whatever the county officials are, and demand to know. The second call to action is that election data is not personal identifying information. You should be putting them on notice, and you should be submitting open records requests, because that's your weapon. That's your tool for transparency. And you should demand the cast vote records. You should demand the security logs, the tabulator logs, the event logs, the system logs, everything that provides an auditable trail for how these machines operate in an election. And so put them on notice that you're watching them.
Okay, hang on. We're going to take a few more questions. When we get back, we're going to take a short commercial break.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Yo! 21 minutes to happy hour. Okay, we got time for a couple more questions. We got some more. You've got a question, sir.
Your name, where you're from, and what's your question?
Yeah, hi, I'm Marty from Nevada. This concerns the big dump of emails through Sheriff Leaf from Serbia and other countries. And you'd think that FISA would have picked up on those if it was such a great tool for
John Mills.
Saving the country.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Yeah,
defense intelligence.
Yeah, great question. It's all about the intel community's priority stack. So I know all of you you got a lot of free time on your hands. Go to the DNI website. It talks about, I think it's in the 200s or 400s in the intel community directives, the intel priority stack. That was below the cut line. Those are all the named operations. That is what determines the priority, what gets analyzed. It might have been collected, but it wasn't necessarily analyzed.
Okay, the head of cybersecurity at DHS says the most secured digital election, thank you, digital election, and it's before happy hour too, thank you. Is the intel community at DHS, are they in on the fix?
Yes. So Chris Krebs, his truthful statement should have been what he said in February when he's out of office. I don't have the people, program, or resources to make a determination. That's what he should have said instead of most secure. Now he's at the cipher brief with Suzanne Kelly and a bunch of, John Brennan and a bunch of those yahoos.
I want to say with Chris Krebs, he was on, 3 months after that, he was on Morning Joe with Adam Schiff, and they asked him, what is the number one threat to the United States? Chris Krebs' answer was, bar none, a cyber attack right down to the local elections. He said that 3 months after the 2020 election.
And right now, they're all freaking out. Volt Typhoon. We are under an unrelenting attack since May of last year.
Give us 1 minute on that real quickly. Volt Typhoon.
Volt Typhoon was announced in May of last year. This is the Chinese pre-planting malware on all of our critical infrastructure in preparation for war and conflict. And guess what? DHS, I don't know under what legal authority, has said election infrastructure is now critical infrastructure. We own it.
John, do you remember DNI Ratcliffe's letter dated January 7th, 2021, one day after January 6th? And what did he say about the CIA's role in suppressing information from the other intelligence agencies?
Well, they were very active. They actually monitored.
This is John Ratcliffe, the head of DNI, that may be the attorney general in President Trump's next term.
Yeah, and there's a narrative over there. They benefit from this. I'm sorry, they benefit from this. And this is where we must We must boil down the culture and start all over again because they are in on it.
So there are, I think, 17 different intelligence agencies that were involved in that assessment.
18.
This was the public letter, which was very cursory, but he expressly called out the CIA for violating what he called tradecraft in trying to suppress information that the other intelligence agencies brought about Chinese interference in the election. And you have to ask yourself, why would they do that? And what was going on behind the scenes that was not revealed in that public 100%. Letter?
We'll have to wait till the afternoon of 20. That's where we got to win in November, because the afternoon of January 20th, year of our Lord 2025, is when we start getting the answers. One more question. What do we got?
Your name, where you're from, and what's your question?
Hi, Hans from Los Angeles. I think this is for Mr. McSweeney. Has anybody considered the possibility of using what you guys have learned to bring actions in district courts to enjoin the use of the machines in November?
Amen. Genius.
Yeah, we've got very little time. There's a rule the Supreme Court announced years ago called the Purcell Rule. When you get close to an election, federal court will not act to interfere with that election. In the Curling case that Mike talked about, Curling concluded that it's not a question of if, but when elections are going to be destroyed. We knew it then, but the court could not act because of the Purcell Rule. We've got such a short period of time. Yep. We don't win with what Kurt's already got underway. I don't think we're going to have a chance.
Closing comments, Kurt.
Just to follow up on that question.
It's a great
because
question.
Pat is right about the Purcell Rule. That's about a change in elections, arguably. And so, for example, when I said that Maricopa is using altered software in violation of the law, that they're not following the law with logic and accuracy testing, what we're going to be seeking to do is simply to require the county to comply with the law. That's not a change. That's what's a change from actual wrongdoing, but it's not a change from the law. And so if you go to, there's a website that we have for Arizona. It's called www.state-of-denial.com. That has both the film that we produced about the Lake Election Challenge, as well as the Supreme Court filings. One of those filings is called the appendix for the motion for expedited consideration. All three expert declarations are there. Those expert declarations are under oath. You can use them, particularly with respect to the encryption key issue, in any jurisdiction as a basis of knowledge.
Okay, let's give a shout out to the panel and Mike Lindell and his team. Mike, closing closing comments, guys. Thank you, sir. Mike, you put your heart and soul into this. Tomorrow they're going to let us know.
That's right. Okay, you guys, and what I'm saying was a good question by the gal there. This has been three long years of fighting. And I want to tell you, I just did a speech up with CNN when they were interviewing me. And in MyPillow, when we got so big in 2012, so many things went wrong. We took in hundreds of millions of dollars in 6 months. And I was $6 million in debt with no bank. And I learned from that. I took everything in-house, all the betrayal, all the stuff that went wrong. I learned from it. And when we were able to sell 84 million MyPillows with thousands of employees. If 2012 had not happened, MyPillow would not be here where it is today. Same as the 2020 election. If the 2020 election had not happened, we would not have uncovered this uniparty, deep state, globalist, CCP, all these things that are happening in our country. Yeah. So I just want to close with this. We can pray that those justices, they are people, they have grandchildren and children, they're there to protect our country. We pray that they accept this case tomorrow and that they actually do their job and look into this and protect Amen. The people of the United States.
Let's hear it for our panel.
Thanks. You ever see this guy with the pillows on Fox? My pillow guy, Mike Lindell. He is the greatest. The My Pillow guy. Mike Lindell. And he's been with us right from the beginning.